What would you like to do? It is the question that every DM asks every player at least once in their career, and that question has led to more stories than perhaps any other question on the planet. But how do you turn that question into an amazing story? See, that's the question we answer on our show, How to Be a Better DM, the perfect place to learn how to Dungeon Master without spending extra money or extra time. You'll get tips and techniques to avoid the pitfalls of Dungeon Masters everywhere. We have episodes coming out every Thursday morning, and we can't wait for you to roll initiative with us. Go to betterdungeonmaster.com/discovery to get started.
Welcome to the Discovery Workshop. We are a group of family and friends that play D&D. We may not be the best at everything, but we love to play and make each other laugh. We would love for you to laugh with us or at us as we discover new things inside and out of the game.
Hey, welcome to the Discovery Workshop. As we talk about our campaign, this is somewhat of our campaign introduction. So we have a new campaign that we're starting a podcast with. One of the things that we wanted to talk to you is about how did we come up with the idea of this campaign, as well as introduce our characters, our main characters that are going to be hopefully with you every week. We're going to discuss a little bit of the setting of this campaign, as well as the time frame in which this campaign takes place. I am your Dungeon Master, Donovan Roberts. Welcome. So as we jump into this, one of the things that we wanted to talk to you about a little bit that's going to be a little bit different than some of the normal D&D games that you see out there is somewhat of the structure for how the characters are going to come into their magic, as well as, you know, this isn't going to be your typical high fantasy D&D campaign. So this campaign is set in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The key people who are participating in this campaign are actually from there. And as we grew up there, we did hear a lot of stories, a lot of rumors and traditions around strange things that have happened, strange myths, strange urban legends that have taken place. So we wanted to explore some of that a little bit. One of the things that's a little bit different with this campaign is that these are high school kids. These are kids that are going to high school. So they're struggling with what that means for them in their life, as well as the introduction of the elements of D&D, where they've begin to discover that they have magical abilities. Some a little bit different than the others, but with that, they also discover that some of these myths, urban legends, and stories that they've heard are not actually myths, urban legends, and just stories. They begin to explore some of this. One of the things that we're doing a little bit different is how magic is introduced. As part of that, we want the magic to be, or I as the DM have really pushed to have the magic be organic in nature as the characters discover it. So when the characters either move up a level and get new abilities, or they discover a spell or an ability that they didn't have, that triggers something within them. It does something to them, or something has to happen to them in order for that to manifest itself. We grew up in the 1980s. Well, most of us did. Almost all of us grew up in the 1980s.
Some of us were born in the 80s.
Yeah, some of us were born in the 80s. So this campaign is set in the late 1980s. We wanted to bring in the nostalgia of the 80s, what that meant to us, some of the things we had, some of the places we went, some of the things that we didn't have back then compared to what we have now. That was definitely something we wanted to explore too. So with that, let's go ahead and jump right into meeting our character. Who would like to go first?
My name is James Roberts, and I will be playing Roger Blake. Roger Blake is a sophomore in high school, 16 years old, hasn't learned to drive yet. He's on the verge of that. He's going to driver's ed. He's really excited about that. He's, in his own mind, a wrestling star. And in reality, he's decent, but he's got a lot to learn. He's got a big confidence issue. He's got too much of it. So Yeah, he's found out in the last couple of weeks that he has more to him than he ever thought he did. And a lot of that comes to the fact that he is finding out that he's tied to the Moon Mother, this goddess that kind of oversees nature and things of that like. And he's finding out that he is really close to nature in itself.
So with this campaign, both characters are human, right? We're not introducing any of the main characters as any of the other races, where dwarf, elf, any of that stuff. We haven't introduced any of that. But they're both human, and Roger's class is?
I'm a druid.
What level are you?
I'm level 4 right now. Yeah, he's still real young in his powers.
So as I was saying earlier, that's one of the things that we're beginning to explore, right, is the fact that Roger is a teenager coming into his powers, as well as dealing with the things that he's got to deal with in high school. So
yep.
It's been a unique shift for him.
Absolutely. Not only going through puberty, he's going through druidic puberty.
Druberty. Man.
So, but the really cool thing about Roger is that his best friend lives next to him, and that is played by...
I'm Ashley. I play Ashlyn Benson, because that was a real stretch from my name. And I tend to be a quieter teenager, a little more on the fringe of social norms, a little more interested in the Hardy Boy, Nancy Drew, investigative discoveries situation. Well, the reason Roger and I are friends is mostly proximity, right?
I think that plays a huge part in it.
We grew up together, so it was like, okay.
Yeah, you could say you would at school, you guys run in separate cliques, right?
Kind of. I don't really run in a clique. I'm okay with everybody, but not close to anyone except for probably Roger.
Yeah.
So maybe not as much of the average teenage girl. Not super social. Don't really care what's going on in high school.
So Ashley, explain to me why does your character, why are they interested in the mystery side of it, the Nancy Drew, Hardy Boy stuff that you mentioned? What was the trigger for that?
Didn't it have more to do with my dad and his work as a psychologist on the base, yep. Air Force Base? And he would tell me about oddities and probably things he wasn't supposed to tell me about.
It's okay. All these characters are fictional, so nobody's going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
So.
And then that made me interested in urban legend kind of things. And Ashlyn kind of has that, like, well, maybe it's not so far-fetched and so much of a legend. I'm all about the stories and wanting to learn more and figure out what's really going on.
You're the true believer.
I am the true believer.
So what is one of the things that you have that kind of helps you keep track of some of these things?
My handy-dandy map.
Your handy-dandy map, yeah.
And Dora the Explorer didn't have this map.
No, she didn't get it on eBay like I did. So yeah. We actually found a map from 1980. I believe it's a map from 1985 of Albuquerque, New Mexico. So it shows, like, what the city looked like then. But you guys have been doing what to that?
Marking areas of interest. I like to peruse the newspapers and the classified ads and find weird things to just add on to there to maybe investigate when my friend Raj gets a license and can drive me around too.
I think it's only days away.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yep. Yeah. We'll see. Hoping.
We've been working on a car.
Who's we?
My father and I. It's a BW Rabbit. You know, you can't buy me love.
So one of the things is Ashlyn, right? The cat, let's call by the characters.
It's easy to make the mistake.
Yeah. it's a far stretch. We're just going to say Ash. So Ash has this kind of interest, right? This hobby, if you want to call it that, where she's constantly looking for the oddity story, the story that kind of catches her attention that sounds interesting.
I believe they're all legit.
Right. So how do you, as her best friend, go about, I guess, how do you rationalize that? What do you think about that?
I think she's crazy. I actually think she's just loony with all this stuff. But as we keep going through this, more and more of it starts to come true. So maybe she's not as crazy as I thought. Maybe there's more to this than what I really think.
Darn right.
So real quick, we haven't figured out what class of character are you?
Oh, well, I wanted to go to a tarot reader / psychic, and I dragged Roger along with me, and we discovered some things about ourselves. And then I was gifted a bow, a very special bow, with a quiver and arrows, and I am a ranger.
Lone wolf. Kind of feeds into that explorer kind of idea. Mm-hmm. Maybe explorer is not the right word. Maybe it's, I can't think of the right word, but.
Ranger.
Ranger, yeah. I see you as freaking Aragorn, Lone Ranger. Strider in Lord of the Rings, like the whole, you know, lone wolf, very much.
I would much rather go out into the woods, wilderness, and not be around the things of man.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys have had a couple of encounters, right? You guys are level 4, both of you. You guys have had a couple of encounters. One of the things that has happened, we kind of had to reset the campaign a little bit once we got started just due to a couple of things. But one of the things that did happen to them was over the course of a weekend, a couple of events occurred that we are no longer familiar with, right? So some things happened, but there was an event that took place in the city that Sunday night that made it to where everybody couldn't remember what happened during the weekend. The only reason that the players know this is that after that event took place, there was one newspaper ad that I believe Ash found.
Perusing the classifieds.
Checking the classifieds. Something seemed strange. She found one, something along the lines of contact me.
Loss of memory. Strange.
Hair growth.
Not strange hair growth. No. Okay. Strange anomalies or strange event over weekend.
Wow. Actually, what it said was strange lights in the sky, Saturday, missing memories, contact me. And then it had a phone number just in the classified ads or in the personal ads in the paper is where you found it.
Yeah, because you can always find some real interesting things in personal ads.
Then of course
crazy things.
Then of course in 1987 you called them. Yeah. You called the number and spoke to somebody.
Yeah.
You want to walk us through what that conversation was about? Do you remember? No.
I don't remember. I know it was Bahatmut. Yeah. And he said that we know that there is missing time. People have missing time because there were messages left. There were things to indicate that people didn't remember doing, and he works for the phone company.
Yep.
And so he can
essentially
get info on phones.
Essentially he found some discrepancies.
Yeah.
Just in whatever he does for the phone company, he found some discrepancies based off of what he's talked to people about versus what some of the records show, times of calls, stuff like that. One of the other things is that he did have a contact that worked out on base who suddenly has gone missing, and he hasn't been able to get a hold of him.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so he...
Was I there for that?
Roger forgot about it,
too. Actually, that would have been in the reiteration of whatever the call was about, because you weren't on the phone with her, but I believe you were at your house and she had the phone call.
I feel like she doesn't give me all the information all the time anyways.
Sure,
that's probably a good thing. I mean, she might not. The couple of things from that he mentioned was his contact had told him about the lights in the sky and about the rewriting of people's memories was one of the things. So after this occurred and after you had the conversation, you do have his number, but you tried calling him back after that, I believe, and there was no...
It was disconnected.
It didn't work.
Him working for the phone company?
Bahatmut's got tricks up his sleeve.
Since then, you guys have had some kind of strange things that have happened. You, Roger, and your wrestling team just had your state tournament. How did that go?
It went well. It went well for me. Not so much for some of my other team members. They were a couple of guys who got into a serious altercation with a couple of other members of another team. But these were also a couple of the guys that we found out that same weekend that our memory got wiped, went missing for a little bit.
Yeah, they were gone for what, like a week?
Yeah, they were gone from school for approximately a week,
yeah.
And their behavior's been kind of suspect since.
Very much so.
Very, very angry so. People.
Arr. So the altercations, though, they weren't just regular. But the altercations at the wrestling tournament just weren't regular altercations. They were altercations in which they were actually competing against each other.
They were in a match and they were ended in the up tournament. Injuring.
Right. So violently injuring a couple of people from another school, right? Or from other schools.
And were disqualified, and then they continued to, after the match, make an issue out of it.
Right.
Make an issue out of going to the hospital and...
and trying to kill these people, yes.
You know, just kind of an issue.
Call them out, yeah. Yeah, one of the guys from the other school who had his arm broken rather severely ended up going to the hospital, and Johnny, who was the main instigator, was later discovered trying to get into the hospital and was subsequently restrained by hospital security and APD. So that has been a point that you guys have kind of been interested about recently, trying to see.
Figure guys, out yeah, what's weird about him.
What's going on.
Yeah, which will play into Roger's peeping.
Well, we haven't even talked about the fact that Roger found out that he can transform into animals, which aligns with the whole druid circle of the moon. So he's got that wild shape going on, but he learned this unexpectedly when we had another battle with a creature in a construction site.
Oh, yeah. We went to the Family Fun Center construction site because there was a bad smell.
Yeah. So one of the things that is on the map that Ash has is little notes, little post-it notes that are kind of stuck up on it. One says bad smell. One said strange hum. There's a couple of other things of La Llorona, jackalopes, Sasquatch.
Vampires.
Werewolves. All of the above. There's one that says aliens. There's one that says...
streetwalkers.
Skinwalkers? Oh, no.
That's what it was. Skinwalkers, not streetwalkers. They had them too, but two different things.
We're not investigating.
I don't
that.
Know. Yeah, that's not a mystery we want to explore.
Roger might want to investigate that.
Oh, God. No.
So we've been tracking on the maps some of the locations that we've recently been to. So you did say that you went to a psychic palm reader. Yes. And you received a bow. Tell me a little bit about that. And who is this psychic palm reader?
This would be, my mind is a blank.
Madam Sonia.
I need my notes in front of me. I clearly don't have them. But Madam
She's
Sonia.
She's your buddy. I don't know how you don't know that.
She gives me gifts. She doesn't like Roger all that much. Although she did say I will be the death of her. That seems ominous. Yeah, we went and did the tarot reading and her eyes changed, and we don't know what her whole deal is, but she's kind of sketchy, but helpful at the same time. Yeah, there's still something there, but she did give me a bow and quiver. My quiver of holding. Yeah, you think she's a witch?
Yeah.
Maybe. And what's my bow? It's the Heartseeker bow.
Yeah, the Heartseeker longbow, and then you also have quiver.
Efficient quiver.
It's a utilitarian quiver, yeah. Quiver.
So it's like a quiver that's got different sections in it, and each section can contain stuff kind of similar to a bag of holding, but it's got somewhat of a limited
So
pockets.
I just want to point out this real quick, is that you got this really cool bow and this quiver.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna you tell have you a what, stick.
I don't have only a stick. It's not a special stick. You know what it is? It's a broom handle.
That's
what I'm working with over here.
Uh-huh. You got magic. You got a cool tattoo that you'd,
I do
you
know, have.
Didn't I have mean, to get tattooed for.
Yeah, you turned into a freaking bear.
That's true.
Let me have my long
I'm just saying, I a mean,
squirrel.
When it comes down to weapons.
You are the weapon.
And this is why he has such a confidence issue.
Yeah, this is definitely feeding into his confidence issue. But that's why you have a stick and not a bow.
That's true.
It's the humble you.
I'm just saying, you know.
A broomstick.
Yeah. And I'm talking about Madame Sonia being a witch, and I'm carrying around a broomstick.
Well, it's not a broom, because it doesn't have the broom part.
I'm just saying.
It's just the handle.
You have a deficient broomstick.
It's like somebody unscrewed it.
I don't even have a broom. I had just the stick part of the broom. Yeah,
somebody unscrewed it from the broom. And
yep.
What, you found it? Where'd you find that? You found that like behind a 7-Eleven or something, right?
It was something silly like that.
And then it just kept popping up.
Yeah, this is like the broomstick that won't go away.
Yeah. So Madame Sonia has been kind of an interesting character for you guys to meet along the way. Definitely had a new grand opening for her psychic tarot shop that's in a little strip mall close to where you guys live. It's right next to the comic book shop that you guys go to. You guys made a couple of recent purchases from there to help you in your exploring of
absolutely
who you are.
You know, once I started learning a little bit about that I can transform into things, something caught my eye at this comic book store. And it was, what was it, a second edition? Dungeons & Dragons Monster Manual.
Yeah.
I have all the power in the world in a book.
Who would have known? Yeah, so
reading rainbow.
So you, the more you know.
So you have the monster manual, and then you have, I believe it's the Dungeon Master's Guide. The Dungeon Master's Guide for AD&D is what you have.
Yeah, that's what it is.
There was a piece that kind of showed up there in one of our sessions where you were able to find some connection to some interesting
symbols.
It was
a picture.
You guys have found.
Yeah.
You guys have found some interesting symbols around, one of them being when you guys went into that construction site to fight that monster. Do you guys remember what that monster that you fought there?
It was the stink monster.
Stink monster.
Doesn't it start with a Y?
It was like a hentai stink monster.
It wasn't a hentai stink monster. Oh, okay. It was an Atiyug is what
Atiyug.
It is.
See, they sound
on the
almost
tip of
the
my
same.
Yeah, I
know that.
Exactly the same. So it was an Atiyug that was underground where this construction site was taking place. They ended up busting through into the sewers or into the lair of this thing underneath where they were doing the groundwork. It emitted this horrible stench. Construction was halted for a little while. In one of these, at one point, while nobody was there, you guys ended up sneaking in to the construction site and found your way down there. Subsequently defeated the beast, but you found a symbol.
We did.
Did
we did, and I found out that I can also make people like me.
Yeah,
I talked to the security guard after we got caught, and you know, just a little bit of charisma, and I was able to make this guy see me as his friend. That
involuntarily,
that organic way that we're having magic come out is I oozed kind of a charm. I don't think it had to be like that.
He said you oozed.
I oozed charm.
Slimy bastard. Hey, like
someone's just got a little bit of jealousy going on over here.
Mm-hmm. I want a broom handle too.
So what was the symbol that you found?
It looked like
dead air.
This. Like no one's gonna be able to see what the symbol is. It was
you don't even need to really like talk about, I guess the thing.
It was a symbol for some secret societies. That we're learning about through kind of contacts. Madame Sonia, the homeless, I don't know if he's just kind of like this vagrant that's kind
Bob.
Of... He's a vagrant.
Special. Who knows if Bob is really a vagrant? We don't know what Bob really is. He just hangs up at the comic book store a lot.
Yeah, and wears a tinfoil hat.
And he has given us some solid information. Don't judge.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, Bob's out there.
Yeah, because he's lived some life and had some experiences and knows things.
He's ex-military, so, you know, I think he thinks that they did tests on him and stuff. That maybe they did. Who knows?
Yeah, Bob's definitely one of those cats that is very paranoid. Paranoid of everything. Paranoid of the government. Paranoid of, you know, creatures from outer space coming down and sticking things in him. So he's definitely a paranoid guy.
He's had some experience.
He's definitely had some experiences.
But he knew what the symbol was. It was the Watchers, right?
That's what he called it, yes.
Yeah.
A symbol for the Watchers.
Which is a secret society of people that watch.
You have no idea what
they
do. You haven't even
I would assume that they watch.
We're guessing they're watching, sitting back watching the movie.
Yeah, you guys haven't yet discovered what that group is or what you think that group is.
Yeah.
But you guys also found another symbol somewhere else. Do you remember coming upon?
Stonemasons? No.
No. The Mason. No Masonic symbols.
No.
You guys found one. You guys don't remember?
Yeah. What was the other group? The stone, or not the.
You're really stuck on them.
I really am stuck on the stonemasons. The Illuminati, no.
I would say you guys don't.
I'm just going to start naming secret societies.
So for this one, I don't believe you guys have a name for it. You guys just have the symbol where
I think we just called it secret society.
Three vertical slashes with a circle around it.
Yeah. Well, and I went to the library and tried to find out some things. And I found the book, The Secrets of Our Society.
So before computers, there was this thing called a library, and you had to go look things up there.
Using the Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah, Dewey Decimal System.
Microfiche.
Microfiche. Old school.
Encyclopedias.
Yeah.
So how did you guys come across this symbol?
Well, that was the one at where the Otiog was. Right? Atiog?
Not that symbol. The symbol with the three vertical slashes with the circle wasn't where the Atiog was.
That was the one that was... Oh.
We were given a business card?
Yeah, we were stashed a business card on us without us knowing it.
Yeah, we don't know who it's from.
You had one, I had one. I think Bob had one.
Gosh.
Bob did not have one.
Oh, okay.
I think this recap is good for us, too.
That's why we're doing this. Not only for the listeners, but also for you guys as well.
Yeah, there are things we don't remember.
We did say that we grew up in the 80s, so memory is just starting to, at least for some of us.
Some of
you. We're getting there.
Yeah, so the symbol with the three vertical slashes in the circle, each of you were given a business card when you were at the wrestling tournament. You found yours, Roger, in your bag when you got home and you were kind of going through your stuff, you found that one. Ash, you found yours in your back pocket. So somehow somebody slipped it into there. It was a black business card with the symbol in red, and that was the only thing on the business card.
That's right.
You have yet to discover as well what that represents. What does that mean for you guys as well?
So, right.
Yeah.
Which is pretty exciting.
And a little disconcerting that they could put that in my pocket. I don't know it. Just saying.
So I will say that was one of the encounters that we've had. We've also had an encounter after we started. Well, we actually decided that we needed to start investigating a little bit more throughout the city. Why not start closer to where we live? And there was a strange hum that was probably about a few miles away from where we live. So we rode our bikes up there, ended up encountering what almost looked like a speaker
in the ground. An organic speaker.
Yeah, made out of dirt.
Yeah.
That was infested with...
giant ants.
I think we determined that they were Shih Tzu-sized ants.
Yeah, there were not German-sized. German shepherd-sized ants.
They were not German-sized.
Or German-sized.
That would be normal-sized.
So would you say the amp in the ground was a Rockford
Wow, that's fucking horrible.
Anyway. Sorry about that. So there was a ant colony. The entrance to the ant colony was shaped like a large football field size subwoofer type speaker inset into the ground, which had different holes in it to allow the ants to come in and out. But as the ants, what you guys discovered as the ants moved, mainly the queen ant as well, when they did certain things, that speaker would create a large hum sound that would reverberate throughout the canyon. For those of you that don't know, Albuquerque sits in this valley right next to the Sandia Mountains. Where our characters live, it's like a quick 15, 20 minutes, and they're right in the foothills of the mountain. So some of these things that they will be exploring are going to be in the mountains or in proximity to the mountains. So this was one of those events that actually took place in the mountains. So
yeah. It's one of our hangouts.
Yeah. The foothills is definitely one of the hangouts. A little bit further away from where they live, there's a river. So we'll have to see what happens with that.
Once Roger gets his wheels.
Better get on that, Raj.
You know, I'm working on it. I'm finding that there's a lot of things in my life that are throwing little speed bumps in the way.
Live and learn.
You see what I did there. Car, speed bump.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
gotcha.
We got it. Didn't mean we needed to laugh at it.
Fair enough.
Right. So we'll start with you, James. What do you want the listeners to get out of this? Why are you here? Why do you want to share our sessions with the listeners?
I think that one of the key things that I've learned, and I'm fairly new back at D&D, you know, I stepped away from it for a long time. We used to play when I was a kid teenager. I played with my dad. We played with friends. It was always fun. Oddly enough, Donovan never wanted to play with us then.
Too much math. Too much math, too much reading. I hated it.
It's like game, but it's school.
It was horrible back then, man. Back in the 80s, like playing D&D, way too much math, way too much reading. I just remember the first time sitting down with Dad. He's like, you got to build this character out. And I'm like, cool. He's like, this is how you do it. And I'm like, the more and more he talked, the more and more I was like, oh, this sucks.
Somehow this became homework.
Exactly. I got to roll these dice. I got to count all this up. I got to keep track of all this stuff. Ugh.
Yeah.
And then 5e came out.
Websites.
5e and D&D Beyond.
Well, they made it a lot simpler, yeah. Which I don't necessarily mean that it's better. I think that it was easier to walk into it.
More accessible.
Yeah. And it lays that foundation for people that don't necessarily want to spend the time rolling up characters, writing everything out, doing the math and everything like that. 5e made it a lot easier.
Yeah, because there's no way I would have done it either.
But it's also a gateway for other RPGs, you know? I think that if you find you like this type of thing, you can easily walk into something else. So I think that one of the big things that I want to get out of this, or make sure that people get out of this, is that the storytelling aspect of this can be a lot of fun. I think that the collaborative, you know, storytelling is just amazing. It's amazing what people can think of or put together when you just kind of have an idea. So.
All right, Ash, what do you want to get out of this? What do you want the listeners to get out of this podcast?
Well, hopefully some entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I would agree that I had no idea. Well, D&D wasn't even in my mind growing up. It wasn't on my radar at all. And it wasn't until a couple years ago that you guys were talking about it. And I was
I'm going to stop you there. So the only reason why we're playing D&D is because of you.
Well, yeah, but you guys were talking about it. And I was like, I don't even know what D&D is. And so then Jamie kind of started explaining it. And then I was like, well, yeah, I would want to play that. Like, why not? That sounds like fun. I want to play that. So, yes, but I had zero clue what it even was.
Yeah, and that was the catalyst right there. The catalyst of, I want to learn that. I'm interested in playing. You saying that after we were, I think it was some random comment that we were talking about D&D for some reason. Or, no, you were talking about Critical Role. I mean, we had started watching that again, and then you had mentioned, oh, I'd want to play.
You weren't even watching Critical Role.
We hadn't started yet.
Yeah, we hadn't started. Yeah, you. That's okay. Yeah.
So we were talking about you watching it because you had picked it up or you'd found it and started watching it. So then you were talking to us about it, and then you had said that, and that's what got us started to play.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is
we can get people to play.
Yeah. All I can tell you is when Donovan reached out to me and it's like, hey, what would you think about us playing a game of D&D? My freaking jaw hit the floor. I was just shocked. Any type of board game, any type of thing like that, he never was interested in it. And, you know, this opened a floodgate of stuff that you didn't do prior to this.
See, well, it's never too late.
Not that I wouldn't have done it or didn't do it. It just, I didn't know that. I had no idea that Ashley would want to play D&D. And now look at you and your dice collection. And 2 years later, here we are making a podcast about it. But
math rocks are fun.
Math rocks are fun, yeah, and pretty.
Very pretty.
Oh, my God.
Sparkly The more sparkly, the better.
So yeah, I'd agree. I think the biggest thing that I'd want everybody to get out of this is just a sense of fun, right? And know that, hey, we're going to make mistakes. We are not as tight as, you know, some people are when it comes to the rules, how we run stuff. We're hoping this podcast expands, right? So I'm going to be running this as the DM for this campaign. We have some other campaign settings that we are playing with a friend of the family's. So hopefully that's something that we can put out as well. And then Ashley and I, we've had some sessions with our kids. Just so you know, the way that we're related is Jamie, James, and I are brothers. Ashley's my wife. We all live in the same area. He comes over probably a couple times a week to hang out, play games, do some of the D&D sessions and stuff. So we've explored D&D with the kids as well. So we've done some campaigns where Jamie's run some games, I've run some games. We're hoping that this podcast will expand a little bit as well, and we can get them into this so that way you guys can see too that, hey, it's not just, you know,
D&D can be a family thing.
Absolutely. It's not just those certain people that have to play or can play. And by no means are we at a level to be great at all these impersonations to, you know, we're going to try. We're going to
speak for yourself. Let me just tell you how well I do impersonations. I am like a king of impersonations. And if you guys can't tell, that is sarcasm at its max.
Yeah, as the kids say.
Accents.
Yes. But they hopefully will come along with us on this journey as well. The one thing I want you guys to get out of this and be able to see is, hey, we're just some people that are trying something different, having fun with it.
Hopefully. You don't have to have played for 30 years exactly. to play it.
Exactly. I mean, you can pick up a module book, skip through it, get some ideas out of it, and then run a session. I mean, a lot of the stuff that you're going to hear is made up on the fly. It's not thought through 100%. Granted, we're trying to get better at thinking through some of those things to have things set up, ready to go.
Or it's outright stolen from a movie or something.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. That happens quite a bit. I mean, that's where you get all your best ideas, right? People have already put them out there. You just got to go around and pick them up.
Exactly.
So with that, what I want to get out of this is I just want to have fun. Right. I just want to have a good time with you guys and
laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we've played three or four campaigns, I guess, different campaigns. We've finished one to the extent that it could go end. Right to where we've said this campaign is done.
All the other characters ones are done. Yeah, these either dead or done.
Yeah.
Right. So in all of those campaigns, there are certain extents or certain points of completion, but I have never laughed so hard as when we were playing. I've almost cried a few times at certain points, but I it's just the roller coaster of emotions that you feel, kind of just pretending.
Makes you feel all the feelings.
Yeah, and you're just pretending, but it makes it real. So
you become invested in your characters.
Heck yeah!
Even the ones that become murder hobos in the end because their spirit's been broken.
A couple of those. Yeah. Hey, you got to learn what you don't want to necessarily do or what you do want to do, I guess, by trying different things. So.
Yeah.
Yep. But as far as that, I mean, we're loose. We're not tied on the rules.
Speak
we're not...
for yourself.
Okay. I'm loose. So what I mainly mean is that, like Donovan said, if you're a rules lawyer, this might not be for you, man.
Yeah.
Because we're not all about that.
We'll make you cringe. Yeah.
We are playing to have fun. And I think one of the main rules in D&D is that fun trumps everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely something that we kind of hold near and dear to us is if it comes to a rule being contested or something to where one of the players doesn't agree with what I'm doing, or if somebody else is DMing and we have any point of conflict, it's let's resolve it later. Right. But it's whatever helps the story, right? Some of it's the story. And sometimes you gotta realize that, hey, you might not get what you want within the story, but it's gonna work itself out and it's gonna be good.
And sometimes the failures are the most entertaining.
Always the most entertaining.
Because they happen at the best time.
Yeah.
They may not seem like the best time, but when you can look back at it, be like, oh, that natural one couldn't have come at any other time to make it so bad for us.
Who knew we were going to burn down that windmill? Wow. Yeah.
That's not
what we were going in there for.
Yeah, who knew that my wild magic sorcerer in a nest full of vampire spawn would turn himself into a wooden box.
As
the building is lit on fire.
Yeah, good times. We lit a lot of buildings on fire in that campaign. We lit
a lot of stuff on fire.
Yeah.
Hindsight.
Well, when you got a pyro sorcerer.
Yeah, that's true.
So with that, hopefully you guys found it interesting. You guys find it piques your curiosity. It's something that you would be willing to listen to. We look forward to having you join us as we traverse through the nostalgia of the 1980s in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and try to discover the kind of interesting things that we can find. All right, and with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this session. This was our introductory session, just letting you in behind the scenes a little bit to some of the things that we've talked about, some of the things that we've done, introduce our characters to you, as well as kind of introduce the campaign setting for what we like to call our Stranger Things. So with that, we'll jump right into the next episode of our Stranger Things. Thank you. And remember, stay nerdy.